Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day. I double caffeinated this morning for our message, so I wanted to let you know I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty jacked up right now. We're continuing our series on one another. Last week we talked about friendship, the qualities that we should aspire to as we strive to live in obedience to Christ's command to love one another. Fitting that on this Valentine's Day, we are talking about romantic love. And I may have planned that, so you're welcome. Right? So disclaimer before we begin. What I'm talking about today is applied most fully in the context of marriage relationship. But single people, all right? Listen up, because while you cannot fully lay hold of everything that I'm talking about right now, I am going to give you a truckload of good, godly information for you to apply to your own romantic relationships. So, turn in your Bibles, please, to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Let me read the first verse for you this morning. Song of Solomon 1:1. Solomon's Song of Songs. You see, this is the greatest song. This romantic love. The Bible does that a lot. Holy of Holies. Lord of Lords. King of Kings. King among Kings. This is the song among all other songs. It's a picture of romantic love. And to me, it's a phenomenal thing that of the 66 books in God's Word, one whole book is dedicated to teach us how to experience this deep, passionate, romantic love in our marriages. And so now do this for me as we begin. All right? If you are married and if your spouse is sitting next to you, I want you to grab their hand. Go ahead, grab their hand. I can't do it with my wife, right? So I'll do this next part. Look into their eyes. All right? Grab their hand, look into their eyes. And I want you to repeat this after me like your vows on your wedding day. You ready? All right? Come on, it's just you and them. There's nobody else here. All right? And if you're online, you can't get away from me. I see you. Grab your spouse's hand, look into their eyes, and repeat after me. Women first. You ready? Women, this is you. Okay. God wants us to have a hot, happening, lump in the throat, sweaty palms, pounding heart, can't wait to get with you love. Woo! All right, men, it's your turn. And if you're in the back, I see you too. All right, grab your wife's hand, look into her eyes, and repeat after me. God wants us to have a hot, happening, lump in the throat, sweaty palms, pounding heart, can't wait to get with you, love. That's right. That's right. All right, now whether you're married or not married, maybe soon to be married, all right, maybe someday, you need to know that God is fired up about us having a hot, happening, sweaty palms, pounding heart, can't wait to get with that person, love. And that's a great thing, all right? God's fired up about that. So today we're going to look at three aspects of romantic love found in the Song of Solomon, which if we apply to our romantic relationships, it will light the fire in that relationship and it will keep it burning, okay? So write these down. If you're taking notes this morning, write this down. Romantic love is exclusive. Romantic love is expressed. And romantic love is erotic. And I mean that in the highest and best sense as God intended it. Okay? Now, I think we're ready. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Solomon's Song of Songs. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the virgins love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Pray with me. Father, when it comes to our relationships with one another, we look at this romance, this love relationship, as kind of that's the one. That's the central one. And Father, in our marriage relationships, we know that when we do life together, it's hard to keep the romance alive. Father, I pray that you would speak to us in powerful ways through your word this morning, that we might be a church full of marriages that are healthy and strong. So God, teach us how to be that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, number one, romantic love is sparked. It is sparked when it is exclusive. Single adults, this is where the fire starts. All right? Where love becomes exclusive. Married adults, this is where it rekindles. All right? Where all of my energy and passion and affection is focused down on one person. No one else meeting my needs. I'm not flirtatious. I'm not spilling over to other people. I'm scoped down, all of those needs being fulfilled by one person. The definition of exclusive is limited to use by a single individual. I want you to listen to these verses out of Song of Solomon. Chapter 1, verse 3. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is perfume poured forth. No wonder the virgins love you. Take me away with you. 2:14, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. 2:16, my beloved is mine and I am his. 3:4, scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go. Exclusivity. All right, now exclusivity does not mean that I don't have any other relationships, but it's that I reserve my first and my best and my most for my lifetime partner. Okay? We don't let other people meet our marital needs, and we don't meet other people's marital needs. Those needs will either go unmet, or the Lord will meet those needs, as many people have experienced. But I won't let anyone else meet them. That's the exclusivity of romantic love. And romantic love, if you want it, it is sparked when it is exclusive. Exclusivity means several things. First of all, it means time together. Exclusivity means time together. 1:7, she asks, where are you? Right? She's saying, where you are, that's where I want to be. I want to be with you. And then he says in the following verses, he says, I'm over here. Come get me. Come find me. I want to be with you too. Time together, walking, talking, laughing, planning, playing, praying. 1 Peter 3:7 says, men, dwell with your wives. Be with them. Spend time with them. Lots and lots of time. Exclusivity means time together. Exclusivity means attention. It means attention. Chapter 2, 8 and 9. Listen, my beloved, look, Here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle, like a young stag. Look, there he stands behind the wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. Exclusivity means attention. Notice the enthusiasm here, the attitude. He's like, man, I'm so looking for you. Right? Guys, nothing is more debilitating to romantic love than a failure to give full attention. All right, don't leave me up here. Maybe you can relate. All right, sometimes my wife challenges me in this. You know, I'll come home from work and my body, you know, it's at the house, but my mind is still at the church. Right? Here, he wants to see her so bad. She's like inside a walled city, and he's like just trying to get a glimpse. He's peering through the lattice. If I could just see you, it's you I want to see. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. Exclusivity means attention. Get alone with the other person. Silence all other sounds. Throw that cell phone out the window. After you've signed into church. Right? But get close to one another, face to face. Listen to the other person. Connect, communicate, hear their heart. Exclusivity means attention. Exclusivity means ownership. Exclusivity means ownership. 2:16, my beloved is mine and I am his. And in case we miss it the first time, it says it again in 6:3. All right, guys, marriage is like a three-legged race. You ever do a three-legged race, right? Okay, so you take, you know, your leg and you tie it to somebody else's leg, right? It's this, like, I still have some independence, like that outside leg can kind of do whatever it wants, right? But this one is bound to the other leg. Have you ever tried to run a three-legged race where the other person sucks at it, right? You're like tweaking your knee and they're stepping on your foot and you break an ankle and you're like, I lost. Guys, we don't want to lose at life. Okay? Always together, in step together, ownership. Marriage is about giving yourself to the other person. I belong to you. You belong to me. Where marriage starts to break down is when you begin to say to the other person, you know what, you're not really taking care of all of my programs, right? And so I'm going to start taking care of those things myself. And then the other person's like, well, fine, if you're going to take care of that, I'm going to take care of my stuff. And all of a sudden you have two people living completely separate lives. And marriage, real, romantic, lifetime, lasting, hot, happening marriage, God's heart for marriage. It's a matter of ownership. Dennis Rainey, in his book, Being Close, he says this, the very heart of intimacy is reached when neither are afraid or ashamed of being possessed by the other. Exclusivity means ownership. Exclusivity means pursuit. Exclusivity means pursuit. Chapter 3, 1 through 4. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but I did not find him. I will get up now and go about the city through its streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and I would not let him go. Listen, church, it is appropriate and necessary for both parties in a relationship to pursue one another. All right, look at the verbs. I looked, I go, I searched, I found, I held, and I would not let go. Pursuit. You know what the number one complaint of married women is? My husband stopped pursuing me. Right? When we were dating, man, he was coming after me. He was winning me. Where did he go? Hear me, there is something very sinful about the human heart. That we want And we go after that which we do not have. And we take for granted that which we possess. Guys, that breaks down a marriage. Right? We need to continue to pursue. And ladies, men want to be pursued too. Men want to be pursued too. Wear that little thing. Right? Men, take her out on a date. Pursue one another. If all of the burden is, of pursuit is upon one person, guys, that's not good. And so for men and for women to have this committed, lasting, lifetime loving relationship, there has to be a mutual pursuit of one another. Exclusivity means placing also supreme value on your spouse. Supreme value. Listen, pursuit is easy when value is high. We go after the things we want. We go after the things we value. Okay? Romantic love is sparked when value is high. Look at how he values her. Chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "You are like a lily among thorns." He's like, man, compared to you, all other girls, they're like weeds. Right? And she says the same of him in 5:10. She says, "My beloved is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. Right? Does he value her? Does she value him? And you know what? This has nothing to do with physical beauty. Rather, it's a mindset of, I've raised you up above all others so that in my mind, no one else compares to you. Exclusivity means placing supreme value on your spouse. Lastly, exclusivity means forever. Exclusivity means forever. 7:10, I belong to my beloved, his desire is for me. 8:6, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. It's jealousy, unyielding as the grave. Permanence. Permanence. Exclusive means forever. Right? This bond that can only be broken by death itself. All right? I'm not thinking about another option. I'm not considering another plan. I tell all of my premarital counseling, I said, take divorce out of your vocabulary. It's not an option. Right? And if you've got these things happening, man, romantic love is sparked when it is exclusive. That's where it begins. Number two, romantic love is stimulated. It's stimulated when it's expressed. Romantic love is stimulated when it is expressed. If you want romance stimulated in your relationship, guys, there's some stuff that's got to get said. Right? Love is not quiet. All right, hear me, guys. There aren't many things more difficult than living in a relationship where one partner is emotionally constipated and the other one is emotionally famished. Okay? That's painful. It's very difficult. And so I'll say it again. If you want to ignite the fire and keep it burning, if you want your partner to be that lifetime passionate partner, romantic love needs to be expressed. All right? Make no mistake, these people in Song of Solomon, they have their PhD in expressing romantic love. Okay, so I got four thoughts for you about expression. One of them is a why, and then the other three are hows. All right, and so I'm going to give you the why first. Why express my love? Simple truth, because it is needed. It's needed. All right, look at chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. She says, "Dark am I, yet lovely. Daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I'm dark, because I'm darkened by the sun. My mother's sons were angry with me, and they made me take care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I had to neglect." Right? The truth is, guys, that everyone needs to hear love expressed. Now, when I look at this woman in Song of Solomon, like I kind of view her as having it all, right? She's got the brain, she's got the beauty, but most surprisingly, we find early on in the text that there's some stuff about herself that she is not happy with, right? Notice the self-doubt in this passage. Like so many people, she knows that there are many things about her that are not attractive in her mind. All right? And rather than focusing on all of the strengths, all the qualities that she does have, what is she focused on? The one thing that she sees in herself that's a flaw. Anyone here like that? She says, I got dark skin. I'm kind of embarrassed about that. I don't want that. I don't like that. Right? She's feeling shame about herself. She says, don't look at me. Don't look at me. You see, life circumstances has not allowed her to look the way that she wants to. Right? She says, my own vineyard, my own body, I've had to neglect. Right? Anyone here connect with that? You look a little different after you have kids. You look a little different as you kind of age. Things appear that weren't there before. Eyebrows go, right? Whatever it is. Amazingly, even this woman who was so loved and adored, she still fights these negative feelings about her appearance. Right? And if this woman needed to hear love expressed, who here this morning does not? Right? Who here this morning has it so together in every way that they don't need to regularly hear from the expressions of love from their significant others? The answer is nobody. Nobody here is like that. I love what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Everyone, please make note of this verse. Proverbs 3, 27. It says, do not withhold good from whom it is due, if it is within your power to do it. Do not withhold good from whom it is due, if it is within your power to do it. Isn't that a great verse? That's a great verse. All right? Question. And this is question and answer time. You ready? Question. Is it good to express our love? No, I said it was question and answer time. You ready? Is it good to express our love?
Yes.
Okay, good. Do we have the ability to speak? Yes, you just proved that by answering me, right? I had my doubts, but you confirmed it, okay? Is building up your mate a good thing?
Yes.
All right, do they deserve to be built up?
Yes.
Then do it. All right? Do you know how to do it? Well, there's the rub, right? That's the why. I'm going to give you three hows, okay? Number one. Express your love through verbal confirmation. Verbal confirmation. Words that focus on the person, on who they are, on their essence. Chapter 1, verse 15. She says, he says to her, you are so beautiful. All right? The Hebrew word used here focuses not just on her appearance, but on who she is as a person. You are a beautiful person. All right? Who you are, that is what is beautiful. And then in verse 16, she returns it. She says, you are so handsome. In the Hebrew, it's the same word. It's the same word. All right? It's not just the appearance. She's saying, you are so handsome. Who you are. All right? Church, listen up. Many people feel confirmed in what they do. Some people feel confirmed in how they appear. Very few people feel confirmed in who they are. Very few. Verbal confirmation. And if we want to ignite romantic love, expressing that love through verbal confirmation, it is so important. Communicating to the person, it is you that I love. who you are. That is the thing. That is the most important thing to me. Secondly, second how. All right, express your love through value comparisons. Express your love through value comparisons. The Song of Solomon says, she says of him, he is like an apple tree among all of the other trees in the forest. Like just walking through the forest and all of a sudden, oh, there's an apple tree. Its fruit is sweet. I can eat it. I love it. He says, well, she's like a lily among thorns. She is the fairest among women. It's a value comparison. Right? He's saying to her, baby, there's 7 billion people in the world, right? 3.5 billion-ish women. Put you in a room, I'd find you. I would see you. Value comparison, all right? Now, wouldn't it be wonderful, men, if your wife could walk into any room of any size, at any age, no matter who was there, and say to herself, my husband so values me that I know that there is nobody here in his mind that can touch me. That would be a great thing. Right? Now listen, if you're newly married and your significant other struggles with this concept, that says something about her that she needs to deal with. But if you've been married for years and your spouse still has this going on, that says something about you. Right? And it may be that things that need to get said aren't getting said. Right? In romantic relationships, we need to know, church, we need to know that we are the first, the highest, the best. Value comparisons. Third how. Express your love through visual compliments. Visual compliments. Now, guys, this is the icing on the cupcake. This is not the cupcake itself, okay? If the other two expressions are missing, your compliments will eventually... Everybody hold up the universal symbol for jack squat. They will mean eventually jack squat. Okay? Now, we all have fun with the Song of Solomon because of the word pictures in here. They're really weird. They're so foreign to us, but they're great for teaching and for communicating worth to your significant other. Just listen to this. Eyes like doves, hair like flock of goats, teeth like clean, sheared sheep, arms like rods of gold, body like polished ivory. All right, that one's a good one, right? That's a good one. You can use that one on me anytime, right? All right? Mine would be like, body like spare tire. All right. All right. Now, I wouldn't recommend just copy-pasting this into your relationship if something obviously is lost in translation, right, over the last 3,000 years. But the truth is that God is fired up about two people honoring what God has made by honoring one another. God's fired up about that. That's a good thing. All right? And if you want the hot happening, sweaty palms, lump in the throat, pounding heart, romantic love that I keep talking about, this is a big piece. Expressing your love through visual compliments. Okay? Now you say, well, I'm not really the expressive type. All right? On the Myers-Briggs, my F is really low. I got no feeling in me. It's just... If you have trouble expressing yourself this morning, here are four things that everybody can say. All right? Four things that everybody can say. I can help you out. You ready? Here we go. One is this. I love you. I love you. All right? You could also say, I need you. I need you. You could say, there is no one like you. Because there isn't. And you can also say, I thank God for you. I don't tell you enough, but I thank God for you. Romantic love is sparked when it is exclusive. Romantic love is stimulated when it is expressed. Lastly, Romantic love is set ablaze when it has eros. It's set ablaze when it has eros. Now, I've chosen to use the word eros because I know for many of us, the word sex or sexuality has become somewhat soiled. All right, but make no mistake, the Greek term eros is the word used for physical human expressions of love. Okay? And think of it as a word used to describe God's highest and best in terms of physical intimacy within the boundaries of marriage. Eros. Think of it this way. Eros is the topping on the sundae of romantic love. Okay? But it's important that we understand some things about eros. The first one is this. Eros, it's from God. I don't have time to get into it this morning, but God created it. He loves it. It's not dirty. It was present before sin. It's a potent, passionate, beautiful expression of romantic love. But the second thing we need to know is eros has become defiled. All right, it's been defiled. It's become defiled in how we think about it. It's become defiled in its prominence in our culture. It's become defiled in its indiscriminate practice. It's become defiled in its perversion. And therefore, as God's people, as God's redeemed, we need to redeem eros. Right? Eros has to be alive and well in its truest form within the church. So the question is, how can we redeem eros? I got two ways for you this morning. Here's the first way. Save it for marriage. Save it for marriage, right? This brings us to the theme verse of Song of Solomon. It's repeated in 2:7 and 3:4 and 5 and 8:4. It's this. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Why? Because it's like a giant. It's powerful. Right, she's saying to the virgins of Jerusalem, it's powerful, girls. Don't wake it up. It's like a sleeping giant. Just tiptoe around it. Right? Now, there's a weird picture in 3:4 of her bringing her love into her mom's bedroom. Okay, and you say, right? But all that to say that there is a proper time and a proper place for eros to be awakened. Okay? It's not in your friend's basement. It's not in a tent. It's not in a hotel room. It's not in the backseat of a car. Unless you're married. All right? Yikes! All right? Save it for marriage. Because the truth is, when God says don't, what he is really saying is don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Right? He's not withholding from you something good. He wants to give you something good in the context where it won't hurt you. Right? Don't wake it up until you can righteously and rightly fulfill it. Don't wake it up when it's going to produce guilt. Don't wake it up when it's going to produce consequences. Wake it up when it can please and not before. Now, for married couples, here's the second way that we can redeem eros. By releasing its passion. Release it. Wake it up! All right? Guys, sex isn't a duty, right? Sex isn't shameful. It isn't even quiet, all right? Chapter 4, verse 8 through 5:8, it is the most intimate description of eros in the Bible by far, okay? And so I want to read it to you. Not all of it, some of it, all right? Some of it. No shame. No embarrassment. This is the word of God. Okay? Wake up, north wind. "Come, south wind, blow on my garden. Then its sweet smell will spread everywhere. Let my beloved come into his garden and taste its choice fruits." He responds, "My bride, I have come into my garden. I have gathered my myrrh. I have eaten my honeycomb. I have drunk my wine and my milk." Wow. Anybody need a second? Okay. And that's just the PG-13 part. It gets better. All right? I'm not going to read that part. All right? In the margin, you can just write this. Passion. All right? Romantic love needs passion. Give Eros time in your relationship. It's not when you're exhausted. It's not when your mind is elsewhere. It's not when time is short. Be playful. Be fun. Be spontaneous. Change it up. Be passionate. Listen to the phrases from this book. Sit down all night. Drink deep. Come away. Passion. All right? And write this down. Lots of time. Lots of times. Not everything is in moderation. The Bible actually cautions married couples as it relates to sexual activity in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. But it might surprise you, it's actually not cautioning about having it too much, but too little. It says, "Do not deprive one another, but come together again so that Satan cannot tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Lots of time, lots of times. Okay. Now in closing, I'll just simply say this. Someone says, "Yeah, we used to have passion in our marriage. I remember that." Listen, you can have it again. God wants you to have it again. All right, there are couples in their 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s that have passion. And there are couples in their 20s that have already lost it. Married couples, you can have this if you will take God's word seriously and do your part. All right, final thought. God wants your romantic relationship to be hot and happening. All right? If you have romantic love, if you want to light the fire and keep it burning, then you'll remember to do, or you'll remember these important truths. First, romantic love is sparked when it is exclusive. Romantic love is stimulated when it is expressed. And then romantic love is set ablaze when it has eros. Will you pray with me? Father, I know that there are many versions of love in our world today. And Father, I pray that as your people, we can redeem that, that we might show and be known for what true romantic love is. And so, Father, I pray over our marriages, if they are struggling, if the fire has burned out, if there's no passion, and maybe it's been that way for quite some time, God, we cry out to you in this moment for healing. And I pray, God, that as these words leave my lips, God, that they would enter into the hearts and spirits of those listening and inspire them, saying, "We got to get that back. That's something that God wants us to have." And they start walking towards you, putting your truth in place. Father, I pray, God, for healthy, hot, happening, lifetime-long relationships. Thank you, God, for the love that you have for us. God, as we look to you, I pray that you would inspire that same love for others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.